हरे कृष्ण।
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चार, यमुना तीरावन चार, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहार। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol. Nithai Gaur Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol. Jai Jai Prabhupad. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam దేవీం సరస్వతీ వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 7 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 41. అతోపేత్య స్వశిబిరం గోవింద ప్రియసారథిః నవేదయత్ తం ప్రియాయై శోచంత్య ఆత్మజాన్ హతాన్. అథోపేత్య స్వశిబిరం గోవింద ప్రియసారథిః నవేదయత్ తం ప్రియాయై శోచంత్యా ఆత్మజాన్ హతాన్. అథోపేత్య స్వశిబిరం గోవింద ప్రియసారథిః నవేదయత్ తం ప్రియాయై శోచంత్యా ఆత్మజాన్ హతాన్. Atha, thereafter, upetya, having reached sva, own, shibiram, camp, govind, one who enlivens the senses, that is Lord Krishna, priya, dear, sarathihi, the charioteer, nyavedayat, entrusted to, tam, him, ప్రియాయై అంటు ద డియర్ శోచంత్యై లామెంటింగ్ ఫోర్ ఆత్మజాన్ ఓన్ సన్స్ హతాన్ మర్డర్డ్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ. ఆఫ్టర్ రీచింగ్ హిస్ ఓన్ క్యాంప్ అర్జున్ అలాంగ్ విత్ హిస్ డియర్ ఫ్రెండ్ అండ్ షారిటియర్ శ్రీకృష్ణ entrusted the murderer unto his dear wife who was lamenting for her murdered sons. The transcendental relation of Arjuna with Krishna is of the dearmost friendship. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself has claimed Arjuna as his dearmost friend. Every living being is thus related with the Supreme Lord by some sort of affectionate relation, either as a servant or as a friend or as a parent or as an object of conjugal love. Everyone thus can enjoy the company of the Lord in the spiritual realm if he at all desires and sincerely tries for it by the process of bhakti yoga. ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सह गणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च. हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तत्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. आफ्टर रीचिंग हिज ओन कैंप, Arjun, along with his dear friend and charioteer Shri Krishna, entrusted the murderer unto his dear wife, who was lamenting for her murdered sons. So the murderer, who has not been mentioned in this verse, is actually Ashwatthama, who was brought by Arjun and presented in front of Draupadi. Ashwatthama had murdered the five sons of Draupadi from her five husbands, and when she discovered, she was devastated. Naturally, she was in a very, very, very despondent situation. There cannot be a greater loss for a mother to lose her children. And not only her children, but in fact she lost so many of her relatives in the war. And she could not even conduct the cremation of her children properly, because the heads were missing. He beheaded them and took the heads to Duryodhan and presented in front of him for his satisfaction. And so therefore even the heads were missing, and according to the Hindu rites of cremation, a body should be cremated along with every part of the body, You cannot have a limb missing or, you know, the head missing. It's not right. And especially the head is a very important organ. And when a cremation of a dead body is performed, the relatives wait, you know, the male members of the family, they wait for, wait for the head to pop when the body burns. And they know that cremation is more or less complete. So then they leave the crematorium and come later to collect the ashes. But the unfortunate situation for Draupadi is that she has the partial remnants of the bodies of her sons. She can't even give a decent cremation to her children. Very, very, very despicable situation. Very sorrowful. A very inglorious death for her children. Because they are Kshatriyas, warrior class, and for a warrior to die on a battlefield is considered glorious. Even if a warrior dies on the battlefield, it's nothing to be ashamed of. People glorify, they go with creating a big name for themselves. People laud them. But for a Kshatriya to die sleeping, very, very unworthy death. You know, or the other kind of death is through yoga. Like Dronacharya, he sat in yogic meditation and left his body. So even yogis, when they die, it's considered very glorious. But, you know, for a person to die like that in their sleep, it's not very acceptable. And so therefore, she was lamenting great sorrow. And seeing the plight of Draupadi, Arjun then takes a pledge that don't worry, because he said it, you know, to pacify. He had to say something to pacify Arjun. And he says, don't worry, I will bring the head of Ashwatthama. Yes, bringing the head of Ashwatthama means killing him and bringing his head. Yeah, you don't have the heads of your children? Never mind, I'll bring the head of the murderer of our children. And you can stand on his head and then you can perform the cremation. So that was the thing. And so Arjun, we see that Arjun has brought Ashwatthama alive. He has not killed Ashwatthama. He had pledged, he had vowed. But he brought the head attached to the body. And also he was alive. He didn't kill him. Now why didn't he kill him? So Acharya has explained that when a person is distressed, then you may say things to pacify them. You may even speak an untruth. It's not a problem. That is one thing. Therefore, he did not kill Ashwatthama. But another reason is that he was not sure whether Draupadi really wanted him dead or alive. Because he had pledged that I will kill him and I will bring him. But Draupadi had said nothing. So he was not really sure. And therefore, even despite Krishna, at that time, when Ashwatthama was captured and arrested, Krishna immediately, he told Arjun that this person deserves to die. Because he is a terrorist, by all means. You're not supposed to kill someone who's not fighting, who's not in the war. And moreover, children. Why should any warrior kill children? That also someone sleeping. And then Krishna spoke the logic that someone who is sleeping, someone who is drunk, someone who is mad, children and women, they should never be murdered. Anyone doing so has grossly transgressed the rules of combat. You cannot call him a warrior. What is the difference between a warrior and a terrorist? You have warriors, you have terrorists. You see them many times, you know, on the social media and all these things you see in, these terrorists presenting themselves with their faces covered and beheading people, and it's very popular. You know, that's how they do their propaganda, beheading people. Once I remember I asked some sannyasi that, you know, what is the difference? They're so courageous. They appear to be so courageous, killing people and not even afraid of their own death. They go as suicide bombers, you know, killing themselves, killing others. It takes some courage to do those things. Then Maharaj said, no, they are not brave, they are not courageous, they are ignorant, they are fools, and they are terrorists. You cannot give them any credit for what they are doing. It's condemnable. And it's cowardice, actually. It's cowardice to kill someone when someone is sleeping or someone is not having their weapons in hand. Kshatriyas were lauded. Warriors, they would not cover their faces. They would be standing there, showing their faces to the people. Yeah, I have come here. And a Kshatriya will challenge another Kshatriya of the same cadre. You know, a Maharathi will challenge a Maharathi. Atirathi will challenge an Atirathi. Like, you know, we have these modern wrestling matches where people of the same weight categories are pitted together. A person 60 kilos will be fighting with, you know, another wrestler who's 60 kilos, like that. You won't find a 100 kilo wrestler wrestling with a 60 kilo. Never happens like that. It's not. It should be a fair fight. And then in a fair fight, someone who emerges victorious, he's lauded. He's appreciated for his courage, for his valor, for his skill, for his talent. Not that, you know, a very Hulk-like man is going and challenging. There's no glory in it. Civilized people do not give any credit to such kind of... You know, you find all these local heroes and gundas who are moving around in every place, every country you'll find, you know, with their bikes and, you know, moving around with big beards and mustaches and picking on people, and they're racing on their super bikes, as if like challenging the ordinary travelers. You know, they're just going on their normal work routines or whatever, and they're, you know, showing how fast they can go on there. If you really have courage, why don't you go to the race courses and challenge those who are actually racing? You know? Why do you race with people who are not even willing to race, and you're showing the, you know, all their noises, and they pick on innocent people, and they even bash them up and beat them up, and they're bullies basically, nothing else. Where is the glory in that? Civilized people never glorify such kind of actions. Killing children and Kshatriya will challenge another Kshatriya, not just a Kshatriya of his own category. Now what to speak of challenging a Brahmin, a priest, a preacher who's taken a vow not to fight? He will not raise a weapon. Shastra says that you're not supposed to raise, you can teach how to use weapons. Brahmins, they're not supposed to raise weapons. It's not authorized. So why challenge a Brahmin? Or of all the people. So here, Ashwatthama has performed a very cowardly act, very dastardly act. And Arjun has pledged to kill him. And here is Krishna, who is also telling him that no, he must be killed. Kill him immediately. And he quotes all this, you know, references from the scriptures of rules of combat, that he is not afraid. Ashwatthama was, even though he was a Brahmin, now he had raised weapon, because Arjun may have a doubt that he's a Brahmin. You're not supposed to pick on Brahmins. And according to scriptures, Brahmins are not to be killed. Can't kill a Brahmin. But if the Brahmin raises the weapon to fight, then he's no longer a Brahmin. Then he can be killed under certain circumstances. So therefore, dharma is not static. It is very dynamic and depends on time, place, circumstances. Depends on the situation. Depends on circumstances. So Ashwatthama was a Brahmin, but because he had picked up weapons, he could be killed. Because he was no longer Brahmin, he was not even a Kshatriya for that matter. He was not a Kshatriya. The day he killed, and this was not the first murder, he murdered Draupadi's brother also, Drishtadyumna. He came in the middle of the night and entered into the tent when Drishtadyumna was sleeping and with a sword in his hand and kicked him and woke him up and held his head and beheaded him. That is how he was killed. So Draupadi had lost her brother and now she has lost her sons. So he was not even a Kshatriya. Now Duryodhan was such a sinful, you know, the example is given of Duryodhan, of envy, the epitome of envy, personification of envy. And even Duryodhan did not agree with what Ashwatthama had done. Severely criticized him. Wrong what he did. He killed the children. Not right. So therefore, Ashwatthama could be killed. It is not that because he was a Brahmin, he could not be killed. No. And it is not that it is without a precept. Even Ashwatthama's father, Dronacharya, being a Brahmin, because he raised his weapons, he was acting like a Kshatriya, and therefore he could be killed. That's why even Vedavyas himself came and instructed Drishtadyumna that your time has come. The purpose for which you were born has arrived. This is the time to put him down, because unless Dronacharya is not killed, he was such a powerful Brahmin, with the intelligence of a Brahmin, with the knowledge of a Brahmin, and then when they become Kshatriyas, they can be extremely powerful Kshatriyas. So Vedavyas said that unless he is not put down, it's impossible for the Pandavas to win the war. He has to be put down. So under instructions from Vedavyas and Sri Krishna and everybody, Drishtadyumna actually did it. And that is not the... And he was also beheaded basically. And that is why Ashwatthama was so angry. Because the way his father was killed, he was very angry. Treacherously. In a way, it was treacherous. Apparently, it seemed like Pandavas had schemed to treacherously kill Dronacharya. But it was not the case, actually. And he was killed lawfully. Dronacharya was a Brahmin, but he was killed, and it was lawful. And also, there are other examples in the Ramayana, for that matter, you know, for out of all the people, Lord Rama, the epitome, the personification of dharma, he killed Ravan, who was a Brahmin. Was born in a Brahmin family, and not just any Brahmin family, he was born in a Paulastya kul. Paulastya rishis. But because he had taken fancy for others' wives, and so lusty, and he was acting like a terrorist by all means. So Ram gave him a lot of opportunities to surrender and to reform, but nothing worked, and then finally he had to kill him. Maryada Purushottam Bhagavan, Lord Ram. But he never hesitated to kill him because that was the right thing to do. So, quoting scriptures, Krishna told Arjun that Ashwatthama needs to die, kill him. And it is a kind of a test for the whole world to see now what happens. How does a pure devotee of the Lord, as we see that the Srimad Bhagavatam has got so many wonderful leelas of the Lord, but it is not as much as the leelas of his devotees. See, more of, you know, Mahabharata and Ramayana, and all these things are what? The more of the leelas, the pastimes of his devotees, and very less about the Lord. So the Lord is like, the Lord's pastime is like the medicine. But you see, you don't take the medicine just bland. You have to take it with some vehicle. Like if you take a tablet, you have to drink water with it. You know, becomes more palatable. Or sometimes in Ayurveda, when you take medicines, doctors give you honey, or they give you something else, isn't it? And you mix it with that. You know? So you mix it with that, and then the medicine becomes more palatable. And also it helps in digesting and helps in the efficacy of that medicine. So also, before we actually enter into the pastimes of the Lord, we have to hear about the devotees of the Lord, the attitudes, the way they behave in circumstances. So therefore the Lord put Arjun to a test. Now we should note that all this is happening after the war. Now before the war, the Lord spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjun. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shantirarjavam, acharya upasanam, shaucham, sthairyam, atma vinigraham, and all those things. Be humble, Arjun. Fight without malice. Do your duty and all those things. And here we can see the practical application that how Arjun is behaving. So it is, in a way, we can see it in different ways. Different acharyas have different outlook to the same episode. Tarko pratishto shrutiyo vibhinna nasa varishir yasya matirna binnam. So everyone, every acharya may have a different opinion of the same episode. So when Krishna tells Arjun, now this person needs to die. How does Arjun react? So Arjun waits, prefers to wait. It's easy to kill someone, but he prefers to wait. He was not sure whether Draupadi wanted him to die or live. So he brings Ashwatthama alive in front of Draupadi and leaves the decision whether this Brahmin will live or die to Draupadi. Imagine, in Bombay there was this terrorist attack and all Indians' eyes were on the verdicts. When he will be condemned, this man. Is it not? And, these terrorist issues are of national interest. And big, big, experienced judges, they take up this panel. And then the prosecutors and all are very experienced. Come on. They should not let the terrorists escape. And everybody wants them dead. Here you see that these great soldiers, like these great knowledgeable warriors, like Arjun, Krishna and all these great rishis are there to consult. But Arjun brings Ashwatthama in front of this lady and presents him for judgment. So people sometimes do have apprehension about Vedic culture, that it is a male-dominated and patriarchal. So it is in a way true that women would not go to a formal school to get education at that time, but they would be homeschooled. As we can see now, Draupadi, the way she speaks, she knew dharma, maybe not from the books, but in practical day-to-day lives, everyone knows what is right and wrong, and she had heard from her teachers, from her husband, and so she was a very knowledgeable lady. So we can see that this great decision was given to Draupadi. So if somebody feels that there is no respect or anything, it is not like that. She was one woman with five husbands. Still we never hear of anything, any kind of a disagreement between the husbands regarding sharing of a wife. That is Krishna consciousness. When a person becomes a devotee, then he puts service to the Lord as a priority. And therefore, everything, there is harmony, no problems. So Krishna has to be in the center. And because all the Pandavas had put Krishna in the center, so much respect. A Krishna's devotee develops all good qualities. So now everybody is looking up to Draupadi as to what will she do, what decision will she make. Will she say, just? So was it wrong that Arjun went against, as I already said, that what Arjun did was not wrong because he wanted to pacify Draupadi. Therefore he did not kill him. Yes? question may be asked that when Kshatriyas make a statement, they stick to their word. They have to. If they say that, if Arjun said that, I will kill Ashwatthama, then he should have killed Ashwatthama. Then why did he keep him alive? One reason is, yes, because he wanted to pacify Draupadi, yes. But another reason is that there is a way of killing someone by disrespecting, especially a warrior, if he is insulted, if he is dishonored. That is as good as killing. In fact, that is worse than killing. Because when a person is killed, that is the end of it. But when a person is dishonored, as there is a saying in English here, that for a person who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. Yes. You die every time you know somebody insults you, and then you keep it in your mind for your whole life, and every time when you are in a bad mood or when you are down, you think about it and you sulk about it and you become depressed. Oh, why did he do that? Why did he say that? And it hurts you. Every time you think about all those insults that people have served you. So you die many deaths throughout your life. So therefore, Arjun decided to kill him in that way, by insulting him, by binding him up and bringing him in front of Draupadi, bound up like an animal. So in a way, he fulfilled his vow. So now Draupadi, on seeing Ashwatthama bound up in that situation, now she has every reason to condemn him. See that, kill him immediately. How can he do this? He killed my son. Not son, sons. Five sons. So there was every reason for Draupadi to say that. And she would be right in saying that, kill him. Can you imagine her situation? For a mother to lose her son. But immediately she reacts and she says, release him. You are insulting him. You are insulting our Guru Varga. They have been our teachers. Dronacharya and Ashwatthama, they are Brahmins. We are Kshatriyas. How we can insult them? So her immediate reaction was that of compassion and respect. So, she says that, how can you even think of binding him up and insulting him like that? We shouldn't. And let alone killing Ashwatthama. Because, and then she's thinking, like you see, when you do something, like they say that when you do it with knowledge, there is more impact, there is full impact. If you do it unknowingly, the result is less. Yes. I mean, you may come to the temple and, like you see sometimes many parents, they come with the children to the temple and parents take their wallets, give it to the children. And the children very happily they take out money, they take out like 50 rupees, 100 rupees. Very smilingly they take it and they put it in the hundi. And, sometimes parents they clap and parents may be a little upset. Are 50 rupees nikal raha hai, 100 rupees nikal raha hai. Sometimes the parents are upset, the child is, and the child is very happily putting the money into the hundi. And all are lauding. Very nice. Huh? But just think of the situation. If you give the, 5-10 rupee chocolate to the child and you say, put it in the hundi. Then will the child put it? He will not. No, because now he knows. Because he can directly relate that, okay, chocolate will give me happiness. But the child does not know that a 100 rupee note can buy him a lot of sweets, yes? Because he does not make that connection, but he still puts it out of habit because his parents have told him, put it in the undi, so he's putting it. But that is nice. He is doing dan, but he is not doing it in knowledge. The real test is when he grows up and then he puts the charity in full knowledge that what it's worth. Now he does not know what the money is worth. It's just a piece of paper for him. So Draupadi is in full knowledge, despite all that calamity and all that distress that she's experiencing. It's a war there. Most of the relatives are dead. It's a family fratricidal war. But despite that, a devotee does not let go of his jnana, of his vivek, And she is making a logic. She's saying, now she's thinking of the mother of Ashwatthama. Kripi. And she's saying that she continues to live despite the death of her husband, Dronacharya, for the sake of her son. And now, women in those days would die along with their husbands. Husbands are dead, and the husband's body is being cremated. Many times, the wife also jumps into the fire and gives up her life. Out of that intense love, it's not that nowadays, you know, there are cases in India where the women are sometimes forced and dragged and set ablaze. It's not like that. The women would voluntarily do that out of their affection for their husbands. That was the system, but because of corruption, this is all happening. So, Kripi was in that position to go and, you know, accept death willfully, but she preferred to live just for her son, because her son was alive. And as long as there's somebody alive to take care of the women, there's no problem. So she was living for the sake of her son, and Draupadi is thinking that if I kill Ashwatthama, what will happen to her? And I don't want to put her in the same situation that I am in. So she was empathizing. She was thinking about the mother. Because she knew them all personally. They were all together. So she was displaying empathy. What use is dharma? Or what use is a law if there is no empathy in it? So she chose to forgive Ashwatthama. She says, no, he should not be killed. So you see, now if Krishna would have told Arjun that, you know, kill him, and Arjun would have killed him, we would have never gotten that lesson. Now we know men are generally tough people, but women represent the compassionate side of existence. You know, men like discipline women, so they kind of balance each other. That's why in the ancient times, the population of women were more than men. It has to be like that. That was natural. So there was compassion prevalent in the society, but these days it's become just the opposite. And that's why also that was one of the reasons why men would have more than one wives to support them. Now it's opposite. I was seeing one article where in some community in South India, they're not getting enough women to marry, because now it's become just the opposite. There are more men than women, and naturally if that happens, it's going to be problems. So now Draupadi has chosen to forgive. Now, the reason being because Draupadi is actually the incarnation of the goddess of fortune. She is the expansion of goddess Sita or Lakshmi. And in Ramayana, there is a nice episode where after the war with Ravana, after Ravana was killed, Lord Ram sends Hanuman to bring the message to Sita. And Hanuman goes and says, the war is over, Ram has come, it's time for you to be united with him. And as far as all these Rakshasis, all these women Rakshasis who have given you so much of trouble, if you want, I can kill them immediately. Just give the word and it will be done. So, Mother Sita, she said, no, 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 don't do that. She says, to forgive is a quality of noble people. How do you recognize a noble person? By their kindness, by their compassion, and their forgiveness. So, she said, I don't want that to happen. And she said that one should be forgiving, one should be kind and compassionate to those who are kind and compassionate. One should be kind and compassionate even to those who are not kind and compassionate. And she says, one should be kind and compassionate even to those people who deserve death. That was her word. And she said, well, see, now how do people subscribing to the Vedic thought, develop this logic to forgive. How is it? It's, you know, every time it is said, you know, okay, forgive, forgive, forgive. We have heard it, but what enables it? What is the logic behind it? Definitely, if somebody is standing in front of us and who is insulting us or has been harsh to us, how can you? What is the logic? Why should I forgive? He's being rude. He's being cruel. He's being envious. So Sita Mata says that, you know, the reason why I want to forgive them is because my suffering is not because of them. I am suffering because of my own offenses. They are just instruments. They are just the medium through which I am getting the results of my karma. That is, unless you do not accept a reincarnation, unless you do not accept a past life, unless you do not accept the law of karma, it is very difficult to forgive. Now, in other traditions, they speak about forgiveness. Like in the Christian tradition, you know, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. So there's a very important injunction in the Catholic tradition also, and in other traditions also, to forgive. In fact, they say that when you stand in front of God on the day of judgment, God asks you that, do you expect compassion from me, kindness and forgiveness from me for all the sins that you have done? Naturally, we will say yes. And then the soul says yes. And then the Lord says, well, fine. Then my question to you is, have you forgiven all those who have transgressed against you, trespassed against you? So unless we are not willing to forgive, forgive and forget. Unless you don't forgive, you can't forget. And unless you do not accept that we are suffering because of our own karma, you may not remember. Sometimes you may think, how can this person speak like that to me? I could never dare speak like that to somebody. Sometimes we may even think like that. The thing is, we forget. That's why they say the Lord gives and forgives, and we get and we forget. We always keep a note of what we give, is it not? We don't keep a note of what we get. Hisab kaun rakhta hai? Dene wala hisab rakhta hai. So that is our nature. We have so conveniently forgotten. It may not be in this life, but in the past that we may have done something. Because unless you are not having that karma with you, you cannot feel the pain. And if there is pain, there is a problem. You have done it. That is purification. Gautam Buddha says, pain is the outcome of sin. When you put Dettol on your skin, an antiseptic on your skin, it burns if you have an infection or if you have a cut. If your skin is normal and healthy, then there is no... So if somebody says something to you and if you feel the pain, that means there is some fault in you. There is still some karma, there are still some reactions, prarabdha. So Mother Sita says, no, it is my own fault. I forgive. That was her nature. And therefore Lord Ram, it is said in Ramayana that Lord Ram would never kill any Rakshasa in front of Mother Sita. He would make sure that Mother Sita is not there, and then he would kill the Rakshasa. And therefore in Ramayana, all the Rakshasas or all the demons who were killed without the presence of Mother Sita. Because Lord Ram knew that if Mother Sita sees him killing somebody or trying to kill somebody, then immediately she will beg for mercy and that Rakshasa will have to be released. So that was her nature, to forgive. That's why in Ramayana it is said, nice verse which says, Kshama Danam, Kshama Satyam, Kshama Yajna Cha Putrika, Kshama Yashah, Kshama Dharma, Kshamayam Vishtitam Jagat. Kshama Danam, forgiveness is charity. Kshama Satyam, forgiveness is the truth. Kshama Yajna, Kshama is actual sacrifice. Kshama Yashah, Kshama is real glory. Forgiveness is real glory. Forgiveness is real strength. And Kshama Vishtitam Jagat. Kshamayam Vishtitam Jagat. Kshama Dharma. And the real religious principle is forgiveness and kindness. Dharma has got four pillars. Kshama is one of them. Forgiveness is one of them. Mercy is one of them. Kshamayam vishtitam jagat. And the whole world is actually surviving on forgiveness. That's why Mahatma Gandhi, he says, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. If everyone takes this principle, lives by this principle, an eye for an eye, the whole world will be blind. The world would cease to exist. And the whole world is still existing because of the kindness of saintly people, because of forgiveness. So Draupadi, she chooses. Because she is a goddess of fortune herself, she chooses to forgive. Alankarohi narinam shama cha purushasya cha. Dushkaram yat tachya vai shantam tridasheshu visheshataha. There's another verse in the Ramayana. It says that alankarohi narinam shama, that for a woman, beautiful ornament is forgiveness and kindness. That makes a woman very beautiful. So, alankaro hi narinam kshama cha purushasya cha. No, it is not just for women, even for men. Men look also very beautiful if they have this quality of kindness and compassion. It's not that, sometimes kindness and humility is seen as weaknesses at times. That is the nature of the world. Today everything is running opposite. If you are proud and arrogant, people think you are very confident. If you are lusty, people think that you are very glamorous. If you are angry and insulting everyone, and so confident, so arrogant. So everything which is wrong is right today. Therefore, it takes courage to go against the trend of this world. We in the Association of Devotees, where these principles are practiced. Like once, I remember I went to a temple and one devotee asked me this question, that why do sometimes even devotees, they behave worse than cow flesh eaters? And I said, So I thought I was not wrong in sometimes thinking like that, because sometimes even we behave like that. So naturally, devotees, when you look at devotees, you expect what? You expect the behavior of a devotee. Devotees cannot behave like gangsters. Cannot. They walk like, talk like, and look like, and interact like gangsters. That's not the mannerisms of a devotee. So, alankaro hi nari naam kshama cha purushasya cha duskaram tachya vai shantam tridasheshu visheshataha. This was spoken to the daughters, 100 daughters by Kushanab, when he wanted them to forgive the wind god who had cursed them to lose their beauty. So tridasheshu visheshataha, that way. So therefore, Draupadi, being the goddess of fortune, she decides to forgive. And she's feeling empathy because she has just gone through the loss of her own children. It's common that many times people come to the temple and they pray, "Oh Lord, please make my life peaceful, let my children live happily, long life, let them be educated. My husband, my wife, or whatever the case may be, let them all be blessed with good health." This is what we generally common people come to the Lord to pray for. But when we go to the Lord sincerely, then the Lord will say, "Look at my devotees, look at Draupadi, look at her situation. This is all happening in the presence of Krishna." Now Krishna is also there along with Arjuna. We are presenting Ashwatthama and her children are dead. So it leaves a big question mark as to what should we pray for, because all the sincere devotees of the Lord have gone through so much of suffering. What is the logic behind it? Why does the Lord put His devotees in so much suffering? So the answer is this. What Draupadi is manifesting, empathy, is only because she has gone through that. In order to have compassion for others who are suffering, you must know their suffering. You must know what they are going through. You must feel their pain. Yeah. But if you have not gone through that suffering, you will never know the pain. So technically speaking, that if you have not suffered a similar kind of pain, then you will not know what that person is suffering. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Yadha kantaka vidango janto nechati tan vyathan. That unless you have not been pricked by a thorn, you will not be able to understand what it is, what is the pain of being pricked by a thorn. So Draupadi is now thinking that, I have lost my children. I do not want Kripi to experience the same misery. Now Kripi is actually the goddess of Kripa. She is the Adhishtatri Devi of Kripa, of compassion. And she is thinking, the goddess of compassion does not deserve compassion for her own children. Let me be compassionate. So because, you see, that Draupadi was a devotee, because she was surrendered to Sri Krishna, she could think like this. Otherwise, this is not, it's very difficult. I mean, we may speak, easier said than done. We may speak, but the moment we get down, and then what happens? If somebody says something harsh to us, we feel so insulted. It's so difficult, yeah. So only a sincere devotee of the Lord can manifest these kind of symptoms. Because we know that Ashwatthama, being a Brahmin, he reacted differently. He did not think that, okay, my father was killed. He did not care to do the research under what circumstances my father was killed. The Kauravas just told him that these Pandavas deceived your father, said that you were dead, and he lost his will to fight, laid down his weapons, and then they all, and Drishtadyumna came and beheaded him while he was sitting praying. So just out of the rage, Ashwatthama vowed that I will kill every single person in the family of the Pandavas. I will leave no one alive. And therefore he pledged. He did not care. He did not think that, okay, I went through this suffering and so therefore I should not inflict the same suffering to others. No, he was not thinking like that. Because generally that is an eye for an eye. So he became vengeful and he lost all intelligence. That's why it is said, Prayaschittani Chiranani Narayana Paranmukham Nanishpunanti Rajendra Surakumbha Mivapagaha. Prayaschittani Chiranani Narayana Paranmukham. Unless you do not become a devotee of Sri Krishna, if you are Narayana Paranmukham, and if you resort to any other kind of atonement, if you even take up pious actions to atone for your impiety, it still leaves you with the desire to enjoy. And you may make resolutions and, okay, I will sin no more, okay, I will not drink anymore, or I will not smoke anymore, or I will just, you know, I will not be indulging in breaking the four regulative principles anymore and all that. You make a resolution and 2 months, 3 months down the line, and again, you know, same problem. Succumb to the same weaknesses. Why? Because Prayaschittani Chiranani Narayana Paranmukham. Because it is, you not become a devotee. You are not following the right process. And Ashwatthama is in that category. And once your heart is inflicted with anger and vengeance, it's very difficult to take it out. Surakumbham Ivapagaha. Just as a pot, a vessel which has been used to hold liquor, cannot be purified, even with all the waters of the holy rivers of the universe. It's gone. It's contaminated for life. You cannot purify it. Liquor is so contaminating. Alcohol is so contaminating that scriptures say, once it touches any vessel, that vessel has to be destroyed. There is no way of purifying it. You cannot put cow dung and cow urine and purify it. No, that does not happen. It has to be. Sometimes people use these whiskey bottles for drinking water. Sometimes people homes. liquor bottles and all, they throw the liquor and they empty it to put some water. And so you can still see. Actually, technically speaking, it has to be just destroyed. It's so condemnable. So materialism, hate, anger, and all these emotions are so strong that once it takes root in the heart, and therefore Ashwatthama chose to take revenge. And despite all the compassion shown by Draupadi, now Draupadi is saying, release him, immediately release him, don't insult him like that, release him. So Krishna at that time changes his opinion. He says, okay, yeah, what Draupadi is saying is right. First Krishna said, kill. But then Krishna said, alright, Draupadi is also my devotee. And Yudhishthir Maharaj says, yes, what Draupadi has said is according to religious principle. Because dharma or laws without compassion and kindness is useless. He agreed. Nakul and Sahadeva agreed. Krishna also agreed. But then Bhim said, no, he should be killed. And therefore, you see, our Acharyas, our Madhvacharya, Sampradaya people, they say that Bhim is true to Krishna. Even though Arjun refuses sometimes to do what Krishna says, but Bhim always agrees with Krishna. He always concurs with Krishna. Krishna said Ashwatthama should be killed. Bhim said he should be killed. He never goes against. And therefore, Madhva, because Bhim is Vayu, Madhvacharya is Hanuman. They glorify him. They put Bhim on a higher pedestal even than Arjun. Bhim says he should be killed. And what was the result of that? It was correct in a way, because now why do sometimes prosecutors and judges, they are compassionate toward the people in order to instill faith in them, to give them hope that no, you can reform yourselves. That is the intention. Now when you punish somebody, there are so many courts, high courts, supreme courts, and all these laws are there for what? For reformation. Yes? To reform and for protection. Now, okay, we have a hope that it will reform somebody. But then that is not the only goal of the courts, is it not? It is to protect the others. Because somebody is not reformed, then what happens? He goes and does the same thing again. And that is exactly what has happened. So now, Draupadi has said, release him, release Ashwatthama. And then what happened? What did Ashwatthama do? Again he goes, again he releases a Brahmastra. To kill Parikshit. In fact, Shukdev Goswami is speaking about these things in order to intrigue Parikshit. This is Parikshit's story actually. So he was not reformed. Despite all that compassion which he received, he still held on to that vengeance, and he again tried to do the same thing again and again tried to kill a child. He was an infant killer. And therefore, the message is that only Krishna consciousness is the right method. Only when a person becomes a devotee, surrendered devotee of Krishna, can we actually be able to see the true knowledge. Just as Ashwatthama could not see that Dronacharya was at fault. He could not see that. You know, I mean, it's already time, but I would like to say a very nice information in this regard. That Dronacharya, Ashwatthama's father, when he was fighting and killing crores and crores of soldiers, he saw a vision. He saw an apparition. He saw his own father, Bharadwaj, and the great rishis, like Gautam and Vishwamitra, Vashishtha, they appear to him and he says that, Dronacharya, you have brought about great disrepute to the Brahmin class. Brahmins should believe in non-violence. And what you have done, you have deployed the Brahmastra to kill ordinary soldiers. You have killed so many of them. This is the time, lay down your weapons, surrender, stop fighting. Enough is enough. Hearing those words, Dronacharya lost his will to fight actually. That was the trigger point. He lost his will. Eventually he resumed his fighting. He did not stop fighting. He resumed his fighting. But then when he started chanting mantras to invoke the celestial weapons, his weapons were not manifesting. That was the second disadvantage. He lost hope. At that time, he started pondering over what Bhima had said. Krishna had told Yudhishthir, go say Ashwatthama is dead. Before Yudhishthir, Bhima went, took a gada, threw it at this elephant whose name was Ashwatthama and killed him. And went and said, Ashwatthama, the elephant, he, like how you edit, you know, Ashwatthama, elephant, is dead. So Dronacharya heard Ashwatthama is dead. But he did not believe Bhima because Bhima was known to be capricious. Sometimes he would, you know, create ambiguity. So he did not believe. He continued fighting. So now, Dronacharya still had that doubt whether my son is still living or he's dead. So he comes to Yudhishthira at that time. And then he asks, Yudhishthira, what about Ashwatthama? At that time, considering what Krishna had told Yudhishthira, now, Yudhishthira's chariot would always be in the air. It was said that his horses and even his chariot would not touch the earth because he would not even speak something which would create an ambiguous situation. Forget about speaking a lie. He would not even speak something which would create a confusion in people's minds. But considering what was advised to him, Yudhishthira Maharaj considered that I will create a confusion. And he said, Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. He said that. And he created that ambiguous situation. He did not lie, though. And at that time it is said that the chariots touched the ground. Yudhishthira's chariot touched the ground. Now, some people say that it was because he lied, because he created that ambiguous situation. He did not lie. He created an ambiguous situation. Some people say because he hesitated to immediately work upon the order of Krishna. He hesitated. When Krishna said, say this, he hesitated. Bhima had to go and, you know, kill the elephant in order to make it easy for Yudhishthira to say that. So, at that time, Dronacharya, when he heard it from the mouth of Yudhishthira, at that time Dronacharya lost all hope. At that time he lost all his will to fight. He laid down his weapon and sat in meditation and gave up his life through yogic meditation. And looking at Dronacharya sitting on his chariot, you don't sit on a battlefield to meditate. When you come to the battlefield, you are expected to fight. So Drishtadyumna, now seeing that Dronacharya in such a situation, he takes that opportunity, held Dronacharya's head and beheads him. Now, Dronacharya is already, he was just killing a dead body in a way. In a way, Drishtadyumna did not do anything wrong. In a way, he did do something wrong. Whatever the case may be. So that was the whole situation. And you see that Ashwatthama was not aware. He was not in knowledge. And this is what happens when you are angry. Is you lose your intelligence. Angry, you lose your intelligence. And then you do not know. And then, okay, mother, daughter, sister, or father, brother, whoever it is. Sometimes people end up killing them. And then they are saying sorry, or this and that. There are so many such cases. You can see in the internet so many, you know, after they do it, then they lament. A great wrong gets done when a person is in fit of rage, and Ashwatthama is in that fit of rage, and he's not willing to listen. But anyways, that was a wrong decision, that Ashwatthama was not imprisoned. He was let loose and he conducted that same mistake again. But he was, even though punished, and that's why this chapter is called as Ashwatthama is punished, because his jewel was taken, his hair was shaved, was insulted in that way, and he was driven out from his home. So scriptures say that Brahmins are to be punished in that way, generally. So, Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,